Welcome to the Dare to Move podcast. I'm your host, Garrett Wood. And as a mindset coach, pilot in training, and visionary for hire, I hope this podcast gives you insights that not only impact your business and your personal life, but thus the world for the better. Welcome back. I am excited to be here. And what's funny about that word, excited, is a lot of times we use that when we are aroused, right? To be sexually excited. And this idea of being excited, stimulated, getting the creative juices flowing is really at the core of what we are doing today. And it's funny because you guys might remember this, but I had a woman named Keneal Joyce on the podcast. She is out of somewhere in California. I'm totally forgetting where, but she's a very well-known executive coach and consultant. And a lot of what we talked about in our podcast was about how she does check-ins and how she really taps into sexual energy when she's doing anything in business. And it's funny that I'm just now remembering her as I sit down to record this, because as I look to my right at my notes, her name is not on there. So this example of me remembering her and tuning into this story she told about really being in a sexual energy is an example of what we're going to get into today. Because sexual energy, if I were to correct her or really explain what she meant, was sacral energy, which is the sacral chakra, which is the creative chakra. And we have to be in that energy space to create anything. So in sex, to create life; in business, to create a business, to create a new revenue stream, to create, excuse me, a corporate culture, etc. So I'm assuming my parents aren't tuning into this because I haven't told them that I'm podcasting again. And it's sort of one of those awkward things if you're from the Midwest, which is like, oh, don't talk about sex, but here we are. So I want to run through this today. I only have 15 minutes because Jeff is watching Declan, who is officially eating food. That's crazy. I feel like I just gave birth and here he is eating oatmeal in the morning. So that's exciting. But today we're going to go through business and sex and really track the parallels between the two, because some of you may be here because you're like, you know what? I could use a better sex life. And someone else could be like, I need to figure out how to do more in my business or get creative in my business. Okay. So we're going to start with business because I think that's less, I don't want to say taboo, but more or less what a lot of people come here for. So when we think business, we think creation and we think innovation. Creation and innovation. So business is a creative process. And as mentioned, any creative process comes from the sacral chakra center. So the basic, most well-known chakras are root, which is at the base of your spine, then your sacral, then your solar plexus, which is like your stomach diaphragm area, your heart chakra, your throat chakra, your third eye, and then your crown chakra. For any of you who are like, Garrett, I have no idea what you're talking about, that's okay. Just think of them as energy centers. They spin, and it comes from the Eastern medicine world. You know, if you go to an acupuncturist, they may talk about chakras. But for me personally, I started learning a lot about the chakra centers with my teacher, Alexandra Joy Smith, right before Declan was born, in a program that she's been running. And I had to pause. But honestly, what I learned just in the first, call it, four meetings was enough to help me with this episode and really understanding how they work. So we're going to talk a little bit about chakras, and then we're also going to talk about states of consciousness, which we've talked about before. So anyway, I digress. Creative process. So life force energy. And it's not from the mind. You know, I can't tell you how many people come to me and say, I need to think better. I need more time to think. Actually, one of my favorite books is called Time to Think, but that's neither here nor there. It's not from the mind. And the example I'm going to give you that is undebatable, unrefutable, is look at all of the business people going on ayahuasca journeys, going on any sort of plant medicine journeys, or doing any mind-altering drugs. Why? Because they want to get out of the mind in order to get into their body or into a different state of consciousness to access from other realms, if you will, ideas and go into ideation from another place. So instead of thinking, I like to use the word imagine, because imagining seems more dreamy, right? It seems more head in the clouds, pie in the sky, versus I want to think logically. Logic has no really use in an ideation phase. So in order to create out of the mind, or not from the mind, but to be out of your mind, to be out of your head, we have to create space. We have to go into the void. So in, I think in Hindu practices, they talk about this, and there's many iterations of it from around the world and throughout history. But the basis is that in order to create anything, first there is destruction, a falling down, a messing up, a deciding it's not working, getting rid of something, a space, just space to create from. But it's called the void, or I forget what culture it's from, but the bardo, purgatory. It is, I'm just going to use the word void, go into a void, into nothingness. Because if we come from nothing, something can be created. But if we start with something, we're limited in what can come from something. We go to nothing, no thing. So we're in the void. And in order to be in the void, we're create and then create and then to go to creation. So destruction, void, creation. I think there is a fourth phase in other schools of thought. I like to just think of the three. It's the easiest. We have to, again, have space to be somewhere or really nowhere. So you'll hear people say things like, I'm just going to sit with it. And that's fine. You're sitting with something. I think the idea of sitting in no thing is probably better, because what we're doing is we're getting out of high beta. So high beta brainwaves are when we are problem solving, when we are thinking, when we are consuming a podcast while multitasking and brushing our teeth and thinking about this and thinking about that. So remember when I said imagine reminds us more of being in a dreamy energy? Well, guess what? There's actually something to that. When we are dreaming, our brain waves are more in delta, or alpha is more like in between beta and delta, but going into a brain wave state that's much slower. And again, I'm going to keep using the word dreamy, which is dream state. I get it. But, this idea of the slowness and the we're getting out of our head, we're not thinking so much, we're just being. And I want to say that babies are born, I don't know if it's gamma, but they're born and they stay in more of that like delta and alpha wave state until they get older, which is why it's harder to remember sometimes their childhood, because they're not thinking in beta. And so if you are a quote unquote high performer, entrepreneur, go-getter, high achiever, it's actually a, I don't want to say a trauma response. That sounds that sounds dramatic. But to continue to go and not take space to just be, you're never going to get out of the brainwave state that allows you to access the slowness of different brainwaves and to literally dream. So another example of how people are getting out of beta is they go on retreats. You know, companies create offsite, you know, half days, full days for their people to get out of the office and do something different, shift things up, think differently. That's what they think they're doing, but to really get them out of their minds and to be somewhere and be together. And so this idea of a medicine retreat, a vacation retreat, this is how we get out of our head and into our body. Because when we are in our body and all of our chakras are sort of, I don't want to say activated, but really working in their fullness and not blocked, we have the fullness of our being to receive information. So I want to say it was Egyptian culture that just, they just had this notion that ideas fell into your head or fell into your being. You know, you're walking down the street and you just, oh my God, I think I should start a shoe company. And you didn't leave your house thinking, I'm going to go on a walk so that I can decide to start a shoe company. You just leave your house because that's something you're doing, because that's who you are as a being. You go to the pond to look at the, I don't know, just look at the nature. And then all of a sudden this idea falls into your head. I've had this happen many times in my life, and it's always profound or not. Like it's not always profound. It's profound, or it's funny, or it's silly, or it's interesting. I wonder why that idea is coming to me. Sometimes we don't have to know why, but you should get a gut instinct of, ooh, I need to do that, or ooh, that's not for me. Either way, it's an idea that comes to you, because we're not thinking, because our thoughts loop and loop and loop and loop. If we can get out of that loop, that's when we have access to other ideas to come in. So you're like, Garrett, how are you? We're getting off topic. We're getting out of sex. Let me continue. So I wanted to tell you, I have a lot of evidence and reasoning behind we're getting out of the mind, and here's why, right? The other thing about business is that it involves other people. Unless you are a solopreneur, you may be thinking, well, solopreneurs are not working with other people. Yeah, you are. You're hiring independent contractors, accountants. You have clients. Those are the other people. It is us and other, and it involves giving and receiving. So we have to think of how we give value and how we show up and how we, again, just are adding value and giving, and how other people are receiving that, right? So in a startup, you are going through ideating, and then as you test something, then you iterate, you change based on how people receive that information. You're constantly looking for feedback, right? So from a business standpoint, we know that we're creating, we know that we're innovating, and in order to do that, we have to be in a sort of space to be out of our mind, to have these ideas come to us. And let me tell you something, when we are, so again, business people listening are probably like, Garrett, I don't have time. I do not have time to do this. This is stupid. I'm just going to keep doing it my way because I can think fast and I can get things done. You're missing the forest for the trees. Is that the saying? I'm so tired right now. You're so addicted to that beta brainwave state. It's scary to think about the void. It's scary to go into nothing, to do nothing, to see what happens. That's called co-creation. But let me give your brain a little more kind of stuff to chew on here as to why you need to be in a different state of consciousness to truly create and innovate. Does anyone remember me talking like on repeat about the book Stealing Fire in 2018 when I started this podcast? I think it was Kevin Mullen suggested it first. He was my guest. Then I read it and continued to talk about it. So they talk about the flow state and how any great thing that has been achieved, accomplished, ideated, created, innovated comes from a flow state, because the prefrontal cortex of the brain that filters, that says, no, that's not going to work, that's not logical, or don't say that, don't do that, it goes offline. And when you're in a flow state, which we can access a lot of times through sport, through play, through dream waves, there's certain qualities. So I want you to picture surfing or snowboarding or painting or singing, or if anyone else has their own individual way that they access a flow state, you know the following. Flow has an essence of timelessness. You don't understand a ticking clock. That's why 30 seconds can feel like an hour. Imagine a surfer, you're like, oh my God, they're gonna fall at any second. When they're on the wave, it could feel like an eternity, and it could feel like a blink of an eye at the same time. And their body is just moving in flow so that they can't even, in a calculated way perform that. There's no routine, right? So there's a timelessness. You get lost in a book. Well, a book's not the best example, but you get lost in nature. You get lost in music. You get lost, right? It's this idea of, I don't know what time it is. I don't know what day it is. You have a richness to it. Everything feels so activating, so engulfing. it's, you can really take in with all of your senses this experience. There is a selflessness to it. You are unaware of your ego and the I that you think you are, the I that I think I am. It's, I'm everywhere and nowhere at the same time. Selflessness, timelessness, a richness, and then finally effortlessness. You don't have to push or grind or hustle. It's just, whoo, it's just happening. It's just, you're just going with it. And anyone who's had an amazing sexual experience will now say, oh, I get it, Garrett. That's what you're talking about, right? So we have flow state in sex as well. And so what I just described, how great art is created, how great music is created, these are very creative endeavors. And we can argue that business can happen the same way. If you've had a great idea, it could have happened in the bedroom. It could have happened while you're snowboarding. It's happening when you aren't in your ego, the I that you think you are, how you differentiate yourself from others. You're in really a void of selflessness, of timelessness, of effortlessness, of richness. That is when we can truly create. So I like Stealing Fire because for people who like evidence and proof and maybe biology and science, they're going to say, oh, here's a lot of good data as to explain the flow state. Now, me personally, that's not how my brain works. I prefer to look at it from, you know, a spiritual side, which would be the states of consciousness. So we're still a little bit on business here, but on the states of consciousness, I've said this a million times, but in case you're new, I'm going to explain the way that I have been taught the states of consciousness. I know Deepak Chopra has a very similar, I don't think these are from him. I'm totally forgetting who they're from. They're not from Ben Harvey. I've said it in a million times on this podcast and I'm spacing it now, but basically, there is fight or flight state of consciousness, which is survival. It's what's going to help you run away from a tiger in the forest. There's reactive. You react to a hot pan. You react to your baby crying or your child falling over. You go over and catch them. They're both very important, right? But not a place we really want to be living in because of the chemical cocktails that are released when we are in those states of consciousness. Because as you and I both know, you better have adrenaline surging through your body if you have to run from a tiger or a mountain lion, right? So fight or flight, reactive. Then we have restful awareness. This is when you feel safe. You feel maybe comfortable. You feel able to observe your life and really be the observer. Because you better believe that if you have to run from a mountain lion, you're not going to be like, wow, in this moment, I'm observing the fact that I am running from a tiger. No, you're going to be just in your body running from a tiger, right? And so restful awareness is really where we can access higher levels of consciousness because we're safe. Our needs are met. Nothing is activating us or triggering us from the outside world. So if we can get to a place of restful awareness, which involves space, right? If you're rushing through traffic and trying to digest a podcast and texting a friend at the same time or scrolling Instagram or worrying, aka anxiety, aka not feeling safe about your boss or a presentation or what a friend said to you or how you look in the mirror, you are not going to be able to be restfully aware, and therefore you don't have the space in your life to create anything. So from a levels of consciousness standpoint, we have to be at least in restful awareness in order to access higher levels of consciousness. So above restful awareness is intuition. Intuitively, if you can get to restful awareness, you might have an intuition to go into town for no reason. I just feel like I need to go into town. And you drive into your city center, whatever, and then you meet someone that's your new business partner, right? Like intuition can really guide us, but we can't do that if we're not in restful awareness. Above that is higher guidance. So for very spiritual people, they might say listening to God or hearing a voice from an angel or just being sacredly guided, not sacredly, higher guidance, higher self, really listening to your true north, etc. And above that is creative. And above that is higher guidance from, you know, your God in a very profound way. So creative consciousness is a very quote unquote higher level of consciousness that we have to be able to slip. I always say slip up into from a space of no thing, from a space of really being in, you could call it surrender, but going into that void. And it does take a lot of courage. You know, the person who's done ayahuasca, I haven't, but I can imagine it takes a lot of courage to step into that space. Now, people do it because it's an easier access point because the medicine's helping you versus you getting there too. But again, my teacher, Alexandra, she always says, if you figure out what this really means and understand how it works, you don't need plant medicine to access this stuff. And I have some personal experience of stillness that has lent itself to some plant medicine like ahas. I wouldn't say they're as powerful yet. I'm still working on it, but I've definitely have had some medium-sized aha. So again, states of consciousness. We want to get to a creative level of consciousness. So that is how we do anything creative or innovative in business. And the way it parallels sex is, let's go back to that state, that flow state, timelessness, being in the richness of the experience and the selflessness, like you're melding together into one. People will describe sex that way. It's effortless. Like we all know when you've had a bad kiss, right? You're like, ugh, I just want this to stop. I want to go home. This is awkward. You don't want to have to try. And similarly with sexual experiences, it's like uncomfortable, right? And a good, true sexual, you know, creative process is effortless. It's selfless. It's timeless. And it's rich, right? So we can really attribute that to our sacral energy center. It is our life force. Literally in a woman, well, our sacral centers in men and women is right where essentially a woman's uterus is. We literally create life from that center. We can't get pregnant with our mind, right? We can't be like, okay, body, just go get pregnant. Your mind can't do it. Your throat chakra can't do it. Your heart can yearn for a baby and not create it. Male or female, if you aren't really truly tapping into that sacral energy place. And so we know that trauma, injury, like sexual trauma, like spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, all different types of trauma can impact that sacral energy center, or leaky energy, if you will. Like if we don't feel worthy, we can give too much, and sexually or in a business, if the CEO doesn't feel worthy, not charge enough, and nothing gets creative because we aren't in our worthiness and our deservingness. And, you know, a womb healing ceremony or understanding how to reclaim your power, again, sexual trauma healing, those are all topics for another time. And to be honest, you can find some wisdom in this podcast on the trauma part of it. We had Ashley Sonson on, I want to say last April or May, who talked all about what is trauma and how do we get through our trauma. Really incredible episode. But right now, for the sake of time, when we think about sex, which is creative, as is business, true creation, it is creative life force and it is connection to the divine. So we understand that if we look at the levels of consciousness to really access that true creative consciousness, it is all the way up high on the levels of consciousness. And a lot of people will say that it is a divine experience. Like when you orgasm, you are truly tapping into the fullness of the spiritual access we can get, which is how and why, from a spiritual lens, you can create a baby. But how many of you feel like your business is your baby? How many of you? I mean, I think the first time I said I felt pregnant before I was like actually pregnant with a baby was when I was pregnant with my book. But what is writing? It is a creative experience. I felt so pregnant. But guess what? The idea came to me in a moment, in an instance of staring into space. I was staring into space at the white walls of my old Back Bay apartment. I was like, I'm going to write a book. And it wasn't like my ego was like, I should write a book so that I can sell a million copies and da 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 da. Not saying my ego didn't get involved at parts of my writing process and parts of my publishing process and promotion process. However, the instant I knew I was going to do it, it hit me like a destiny, like Jeff, my sexual partner, my fiance. When I met Jeff, it was just this quiet, yes, that's him. It's your person. And I know it might sound crazy, but it's the truth. I met him. I knew I was going to marry him the day I met him. We consider our anniversary to be the day that we met because we were a blind date. We met. Our blind date was our first date, is our anniversary because we just knew. And if you are able to surrender your ego's desires of what it thinks it needs and go into like, this is what I don't need anything. I'm going to surrender everything. Surrender, I think Alexander called it surrendered intentionality, because you set your intention. So like intention, I want to make $1 billion, or this company is going to make $1 billion, or I'm going to solve world hunger. My intention is to grow as a soul. Whatever the intention is, set it and forget it. Surrender it. The I that I think I am, my ego is not in charge here. There is something divinely orchestrated that is bigger than me. And if you have had a baby, or you have gotten someone pregnant, or you've been impregnated, you know that during that pregnancy, you don't get to decide what hair color is made. You don't get to, I mean, I guess in some cases, if you did some incredible genetic work, for the most part, even if you did that, you don't get to say, all right, it's Wednesday, November 2nd, time to grow those fingernails. Like, you aren't in that. That is something bigger than us, and that is creativity. It is divinely orchestrated, and it comes from surrendered intentionality. So you set your true north, right? If you're an old explorer in the forest, you look at the compass, you find north, but you don't know you're going to have to cross a river yet. You don't know that you're going to run into a snake yet, right? So from your sacral place, there is desire, your sacral chakra. There's desire. Business has desire. There is intentionality. There is creativity, and you cannot plan it. There is no 1,000 page business plan. Just like you could have all the intentions and look at someone who looks good on paper, but in the moment of a sexual experience or even just a kiss, it can be awkward. You can't plan it. You cannot plan it. And you're looking for feedback in the experience of it. So the initial kernel of an idea of a I'm figuring it out as I, or I'm trying to figure out the idea, the ideation, the imagination, the instance where you decide, you go into sex, that you can't plan for. However, once it happens and you're in the act of creative, you do need feedback, right? So feedback about your idea from a business partner, or feedback from your sexual partner. And it is cyclical, cyclical, cyclical. And there's destruction, void, and creation. So I like looking at these things from an energy standpoint, because everything is energy. And that's why I pulled two things that are, you know, pretty prominent in our lives, right? You either work for a business, you start a business, you want to start a certain business pays you. It's how we earn money. And sex is how we create life. And I like to look at these two things that are intricately intertwined, or parallel, if you will, because it helps us understand energy and where our creativity comes from. So I can't tell you what to take from this episode, but I do want you to remember that from an energetic standpoint, it is your sacral energy center. It is creative, and it needs space. Space of nothing. It takes courage to go into that space of nothing, into that void. And my hope is that you dare to do that. So I've got to go take care of Declan, but thank you for tuning in today. And as always, dare to move.